If you have your Bible, turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 this morning. We're going to be looking, continuing to look at our series, The Message and the Mission. This is week 4 of 5 about the message that God has given us and the mission He has sent us on. So the message is the Word of God. And we talked the first few weeks about how important it is that we see the Word of God and know the Word of God is both real and relevant. It is real and that is absolute truth. There is no error in it. Its message is perfect for us. And it is relevant that it applies to us today. We're not confused about what we're supposed to do with it. We know that it is speaking directly to us. And so these next 3 weeks, last week, this week, and the following week after this, we are looking at the mission. If it is real and it is relevant, what does the Word tell us to do? And our mission here at this church is threefold. We talked about it being reach up, reach out, and reach in. Reach up reminds us that our first priority is to worship, to reach up and worship our great God. And so last week we talked about worship and what worship is and what worship isn't and how we are called to worship. This morning our message is on reach out. The mission this morning is to reach out. You know, naturally, when we reach up and worship God, our natural inclination then, as we grow closer to God, is to share that love of God with others. And so this morning, we're looking at our mission to reach out into our community, to serve them, and most importantly, to share the gospel with them. I hope and pray that you all have had a chance to take our members class. Many of you may have been able to attend those live, and I hope you have. If not, I would encourage you to go back and see some of the sessions on our members class. You can find it on our website, fbcrobinson.com. There's a link to it for our members class that you can see the first three sessions. Our fourth one will be this Wednesday night. But you can go ahead and look and view those. And what you're going to find is our mission to reach up, reach out, reach in is circular. It's not linear. And so if you come and are a part of our church, we're not asking you to move on from one step to the next. Instead, we're looking at our entry point to worship. That's where we start. And that will lead us to reach out, which next week will lead us to reach in, and then will bring us back to our understanding of who God is and worshiping and reaching up again. So I would encourage you to look at those online if you've not had a chance to view them live or come to this last session this Wednesday evening. When we think about reach up, it brings about a word that scares us. The word is evangelism. Now, anytime we throw out a churchy word, most people cringe, whether they like the word or don't like the word. But especially the word evangelism. How many of you all in here would say, I consider myself an evangelistic person? Anybody? One, two hands. Yeah, Cole, your hand's a good one to be up. This morning, what you did in baptism was evangelistic, right? You're telling other people about what you did. How many of you all say, evangelism scares me? Right? A lot more hands, yeah. Evangelism is scary to a lot of us. We get nervous, not just because it's kind of this big word, evangelism, but because what it entails. It's talking to people. And let me tell you, people, they're the worst, okay? It requires us going and confronting somebody with the message of the gospel. And so we get very frightened, we get very scared and afraid. One of my favorite opportunities I had to be evangelistic, if you will, was after we were on Thanksgiving break during college. And after we had had a missions class where our missions professor said, every single one of you going home on break need to look for a God-appointed time to share the gospel with someone. And what do you know? There I was sitting on a plane next to someone flying home for Thanksgiving break that had no idea what was about to hit him because the guilt trip that was in me was overflowing. And so I'm sitting there sweating bullets, and I must have looked like I was nervous to fly. He struck up a conversation with me. By the way, if you're on a plane and you want to strike up a conversation with someone, just look like you think the plane's going to crash and they want to know what's going on. So we had this conversation about the Ten Commandments and about sharing our faith, and it was maybe the first time I realized that evangelism and sharing the gospel is just a conversation. It's just starting to talk about what God's done in your life and in others. I wish I could tell you that gentleman accepted Christ. He did not. He was not a Christian, but he was not opposed to it either. He at least got to hear the gospel message. But it reminds us that evangelism does not have to be scary. It's just us talking to others. In Mark chapter 1, we see Jesus reaching out to the people. And I would like to look at Mark 1, verses 29 through 39. That's where we'll be primarily this morning. You can read along with me in your Bible. The words will be up on the screen, or if you have a copy of our bulletin on the website, you can tap the bulletin notes, and it will bring up this passage as well. Let's look at how Jesus was reaching out and how we can learn from what Jesus did to reach out to others. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 29, says this: "As soon as they left the synagogue, they went into Simon and Andrew's house with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was lying in bed with a fever, as they told him about her at once. And so he went to her, took her by the hand, raised her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. When the evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all those who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. The whole town was assembled at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. But he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a desert place. And he was praying there. Simon and his companions went searching for him. They found him and said, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let's go on to the neighboring villages so that I may preach there too. This is why I have come.' And so he went into all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." Now, some of you are scratching your head and saying, "You said it was just a conversation. You didn't say I was going to have to cast out demons to evangelize." And maybe you're starting to get nervous again. This morning, I want to look at some principles that Jesus had as he was reaching out to those around him. And it does not require you and I looking for demon-possessed people and driving out demons. But it does require us taking some purposeful steps to reach out to others. And the first step that Jesus did was extremely easy. And yet it's what we neglect even before we start the process. If we're going to reach out to our community, we must prepare our heart. You must prepare your heart. You know why I think so many of us are afraid of talking to others about our faith? Because we don't ever talk to God about talking to others about our faith. We don't ever ask God to show us opportunities to share our faith. We don't ever ask God to give us comfort and peace as we're going to share our faith. We don't ever acknowledge to God that we're scared out of our wits. We never spend time preparing our heart. In the middle of this passage, we see Jesus taking time at the beginning of the day in chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out and made his way to a deserted place. And he was praying there. Very early in the morning, he got up. Very first thing Jesus did is go find a quiet place and pray. Now you may say, Jesus had so much to do. People were flocking to him with the sick and the demon-possessed. There were people who needed to hear the message. He needs his rest so that he can go and expend his energy to reach out to the community. And Jesus doesn't look for more hours of sleep. Jesus looks for a quiet time to sit and get his heart right. You and I are not evangelistic. I fear because we don't open up to God about our fears and about our anxieties and about our worries and about our need for help. We don't spend time preparing our heart. I wonder if you would do this in the next week. I wonder if you would think of someone who needs to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And instead of trying to figure out a way Monday morning to share your faith, if you would get up tomorrow morning, very early in the morning, and just say, "Lord, open a door. God, I'm scared to death, but let me have an opportunity somewhere to talk about my faith." Instead of trying to develop a six-step plan on how you're going to start a conversation, I wonder if you would say, "God, I don't need a plan. I need you." Jesus took some time before he ever went and served others just to prepare his heart, to pray, and to get ready. The disciples didn't understand this. They looked everywhere and they couldn't find him. So they go and they search for him and they say, "Jesus, everyone is looking for you." I like how Jesus responds. He doesn't say, "I'm so sorry, I had to get away and have this explanation." Nope. He just goes on with his business. "I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Let's go into the next city and keep preaching." It was just a part of his daily routine. There was no explanation needed for Christ. I wonder if we can commit to reach out by preparing our heart, by getting ready and asking for opportunities to share our faith. I'll warn you about this as you ask God to give you opportunities, is that God often answers the prayers of the faithful. So when you pray, "Lord, give me an opportunity to share my faith," guess what will happen? A door will at some point be wide open, and you'll sit there and you'll talk yourself out of it. "Lord, I've prepared my heart. I've asked you to give me opportunities. I've told you about my anxieties. I'm just not ready," and you'll back away. If you ask God to give you opportunities, we need to not just prepare our heart with God, but prepare our heart and our mind to follow up on the opportunities God will give us. We're called to reach out and evangelize, to share our faith. And we must ask God to prepare the way and help us in our time of need. The second principle in reaching out is also a simple one, and one that we like to get to but often stop at, and that is to put others first. To put others first. If you're going to be evangelistic, it cannot be about you. If you're going to share your faith with others, it cannot be about your badge of honor that I talk to someone about Christ. It has to be about others' needs. There's a great method of evangelism called servant evangelism. And while it stops short of being evangelism, it's not sharing the gospel message in whole, it's a great way to prepare the way where you are just serving others with no other intention but to love them. Jesus modeled this, but I think an even better example in this passage, maybe not better than Jesus, but a more clear example in this passage is what we see Simon's mother-in-law. Look with me in verse 31. "Jesus went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them." Now, I'm not sure, outside of the person of Jesus himself, that there may be a more clear picture of a person who puts someone else and others first. Here's a woman on her deathbed with a fever that is killing her. And in her state, cries out to Jesus. He heals her. And instead of waiting for her to regain some strength or making sure everything is settled in, it says she got up and began to serve them. It wasn't about her and her condition. There were guests in her house that needed to be served. And so she gets up and she gets to work. Whether or not this woman was evangelistic, I can't tell you. We don't know much else about Simon's mother-in-law. But her attitude and her heart is one that I hope we can model. That even when we feel we're at our weakest, we're looking for an opportunity and an avenue to serve someone else. Verse 32 says, "When the evening came and the sun had set, they began bringing to him all those who were sick and those who were demon-possessed." Jesus is another wonderful, actually perfect example of serving others. Jesus had spent a day of preaching. He had just spent some time with Simon's mother-in-law, healing her. And now the evening had come. Keeping in mind that he's getting up early the next morning, and he knows he's getting up early the next morning, the entire community is bringing all who were sick, all who were demon-possessed, and Jesus takes time to heal each and every one. Verses 33 and 34 say the whole town was assembled at the door. He healed many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. He would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. By the way, that last sentence is another sign of Christ's humility. The demons were ready to cry out, "You are the Messiah, you are the Lord." And in his humble state, Jesus says, "They're not ready for that side of it yet. Let me just serve. Let me just heal. Let me just meet the needs of others." A great and important step in evangelism is simply serving other people, putting others first. I think you and I often get, especially in our church mindset, this idea that if we're going to share our faith, we have to serve. And so we're serving simply with the purpose of looking for an opportunity to push our faith. And while it's important, and we'll talk in just a moment, the priority of verbally sharing our faith, it is okay, not just okay, it is necessary that we serve others with no ulterior motives whatsoever. just because they have a need and we're able to meet that need. Jesus comes and he has the opportunity to let the demons, his enemies, proclaim him as Messiah. And he says, right now I'm just serving. There's a time and a place, but right now they have a need and I'm meeting their need. Jesus is tired, he's weary, he knows the next morning he's having to get up early and do it all over again. And as they're coming and flocking, he sees a need and he meets a need. I think you and I put others first when it is convenient for us. But that just puts ourselves first, doesn't it? Do we genuinely seek out for the needs of other people? See where they're hurting and reach out to them in assistance? Servant evangelism is essential to sharing our faith. We must put others first. But I will tell you this morning, it falls short if we do not do this last thing, which is really our first thing, and that is prioritize your service. Prioritize your service. I'm a big proponent, obviously, of serving others as a means of evangelism. But can I tell you, that is not the most effective way to lead someone to Christ. As a matter of fact, serving everyone with a pure heart will not lead a single person to Christ unless somebody tells them how to accept Christ. We see Jesus had a priority in his service. Look with me in verse 38, the order of which he does things. In verse 38, he says, "Let's go on to the neighborhood villages so that I may preach there too. This is why I have come." This word preach is a proclamation, proclaiming, telling the words. Jesus says, the purpose I'm here is not to heal sick and not to cast out demons, not just to do this service, although it's important. My purpose is to proclaim repentance and proclaim salvation. The priority in service is simply to go out and preach the word. We started reading in verse 29, and immediately he was leaving the synagogue in verse 29, and he's coming in and going to visit Simon's mother-in-law to heal her, to serve, putting others first. But what we did not read yet is what came and why he was in the synagogue. Look with me in verse 21 and 22. After Jesus calls the disciples, it says, "Then they went into Capernaum, and right away he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and did what? Began to heal and began to serve and began to cast out demons." No. It says, and he began to teach. They were astounded at his teaching because, unlike the scribes, he was teaching them as one having authority. Jesus came with an authoritative message. We flip-flop this sometimes. We think we need to serve to share our faith. But Jesus did it backwards. He shared repentance and salvation, and let that be an opportunity to serve. We have to prioritize where we're serving. Now, that does not mean we walk in and the first person we see, we grab our Bible, hit them on the side of the head and say, "Repent." That's not biblical preaching. However, it is putting a higher priority in sharing verbally the word than it is simply meeting needs. And Jesus did both. After he had preached, after he was in the synagogue, we see in verse 26 that at that point, an unclean spirit convulsed him and shouted with a loud voice and came out. It's after that point in verse 26 that Jesus starts serving and casting out demons. But not before he proclaimed the word of God. We read verses 38 and 39 already, but I think it's a clear picture of the priority that Jesus has in service when he says, "Let's go on to the neighboring villages so I may preach there too. This is why I have come." Look at verse 39. He went into all of Galilee, and look at the order, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. It's not an accident that those are not reversed. It's not that he went into all of Galilee driving out demons and serving, and then as opportunity popped up, trying to preach a little here and there. No, his mission and his purpose was to share the gospel message. You and I, in our striving to reach out, must understand that our top priority is telling people that Jesus Christ can save them from their sins and lead them in a godly life. Our top priority, even before we do anything else, is that people know the truth of what God's Word says. And so that brings us back to our fear. It's easy to go serve somebody. I can go and rake some leaves for someone. I can go and help carry groceries out to a car. I can go and do free car washes. I can be a part of some church outreach. But talking to people? That's my priority, is opening my mouth. I'd like to share with you that we have a training available through our church, through Right Now Media at our church, that is evangelism training. It's several sessions to how to start a conversation and what to say to share your faith and how to lead someone in a prayer to genuinely accept Christ. And that's available, and I'd be happy to talk to you how you can view that. It's very helpful. But I will tell you, I don't think that the answer is always just going through a detailed training. I think the answer is just knowing the gospel for ourselves and being willing to share that with someone else. So what is the gospel? What are we to proclaim and what are we to share? It's very simple. The gospel is this, that every single one of us, you, me, and the person you'll be talking to, is a sinner and is separated from God. We make mistakes, and those mistakes have consequences. And the gospel, number two, is that our sin so separates us from God that we cannot live the way God intended us to live, and we're deserving of all the wrath that He would give us. That's what we have earned. But the gospel message is this. While somebody has to pay for my sins, that somebody does not have to be me. Jesus Christ came in the form of a human being, and He took the place for me. I deserve to die, and Jesus died instead. And so the gospel message that Tracy read earlier is found in Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, He's in control, and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead and forgives our sins through the cross, that we will be saved. That's all we really need to know to share our faith. Four quick things. We all are sinners. Our sin separates us from God. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin. And if we would trust Him with our lives and ask forgiveness for our sins, we will receive salvation. We overcomplicate things and we work around because we're so afraid. But the gospel message is simple. So this morning, I wonder if we would look for opportunities to reach out. I wonder if we would prepare our heart and ask for God to open doors. I wonder if we would put others first genuinely, not trying to get our foot in the door, but just serve other people because they are created in God's image like we are. And I wonder if we would make our highest priority verbally sharing the gospel message with others. We did our members class and we talked about our three steps in our mission. We got to reach out and I asked how many people felt that they were comfortable in reaching out in evangelism. And we had very few hands. This was the weakest area for most Christians. It's because we're so afraid and we complicate things. I wonder if this morning we can simply say, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to serve others and put them first. I'm going to ask You to give me opportunities, and I'm going to look for ways to verbally talk to others about Christ. This morning, we're called to reach out and to share our faith. But perhaps this morning, you're hearing the gospel message for the first time, or maybe it's sinking in for the first time. That the gospel is simple enough that we just yield our lives to Christ and we ask forgiveness for sins. And as it's sinking in for the first time, maybe this morning, God's impressing on your heart to turn your life over to Christ. If so, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing a song of invitation. And during that time, if the Lord has spoken to you this morning and just put on your heart that you need His forgiveness and for Him to lead your life, I would love for you to come forward and let me pray with you and talk to you. Set up a time that I can answer some questions. Or maybe this morning you just want to reach up in worship of the great God who gives us this mission to reach out. We pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the salvation we have. I'm thankful that You have forgiven us for our sins, and Lord, that You've done that for all who confess You. Lord, I pray that You would give us opportunity to reach out. We're asking right now, this Sunday morning, that You would prepare our hearts. Lord, putting someone on our hearts right now that needs to know You, a name that we can start praying for. And Lord, we're asking You to open up doors and give us opportunity. Lord, we We also pray that you would change our hearts to put others before ourselves, that we would prioritize their needs over our own. And even when we're tired, we would look to serve. Even when we feel like we're spent, we would look to serve. And Lord, I pray you would give us boldness and confidence to share audibly, verbally, with our mouths what it means to know you. Lord, if there's one in here this morning who is feeling convicted because they're just now putting together their need for you, their sinful state and how it separates them from you, Lord, I pray that you would let them see clearly that Jesus Christ has paid for their sin, that they are forgiven if they would just ask for it, and that you will lead them and guide them into a new life. Lord, let us worship you this morning because of who you are. It's in your name we pray. Amen.